First things first, we are joined by an NFL insider for CBS Sports and CBSSports.com. He appears every Sunday during the NFL season on the NFL Today, during the regular season and playoffs both. He is a good friend of the program. He is the co-host of Inside Access on 105.7, The Fan in Baltimore. He is Jason Lockenfora. Jason, before we get into all the football news, bring me up to date, brother. How are you doing? How is your family holding up throughout this entire time?
Yeah, we're hanging in there. Doing what we can, trying to do the right thing, make the best of this. And all, you know, say our prayers and take our vitamins and eat our Wheaties that, you know, we come out on the other side of this at some point, strong and together as a country and as a sporting republic as well, as people who really, when you and I make our living off of sports, people who love sports, people who grew up around sports, just being able to see that return, and not just the professional level, but you know, our kids to be able to play, you know, rec league and whatever, to be able to go to YMCA gym, you know what I mean, and shoot hoops, all that stuff that we took for granted. So no, we're making the best of it, and we hope you guys are you know, as healthy and blessed as can be out there.
That's the point. I think that's very well said, and I appreciate it. And we're doing great out here too, JLC. You know, we'll talk football in 1 minute, but knowing you and your family and how much you love baseball, how much are you missing baseball right now?
Badly. Badly. We had some trips planned, and we go to a lot of minor league games, and I was going to take my youngest, hadn't gone on a trip just with me before, he had with me and his siblings. We kind of try to do these experiences with them for presents and Christmas rather than just things that they'll, you know what I mean, stuff that they'll play with five times and then forget about. So we were supposed to go see the Mets play the Phillies on Father's Day, and then the Orioles got to Yankee Stadium the next day, so we're going to go to Yankee, you know, and see that game and take the train up. So yeah, there's a lot of explaining to do, and some kids who you know, thought they'd be playing this summer every weekend, doubleheaders and travel league and all that stuff, who you've got to kind of, you know, talk through. But that, hey, if that's the worst of my problems, you know what I mean? Like, there's so many people who have experienced this, you know, pandemic in a way that we haven't, and my heart goes out to them.
Jason Lockenfora is my guest. All right, JLC, you've got a piece up right now on CBSSports.com about the NFC North and what a fascinating division it is. Lay it out for me. What catches your attention about this division?
Well, I mean, you kind of step back this time of year and you're like, okay, who got better, right? We got through free agency. It's this weird offseason unlike any we've seen before. We've got the draft. It was a weird draft. I thought it was a cool draft, though, and I hope there's elements they take from that. But, okay, you start taking stock. And Green Bay used those 3 days to basically just pick an epic fight with their Hall of Fame quarterback. Like, they pretty much trolled him. So I find that interesting. Like, that's going to be something we'll keep an eye on whenever they do roll the balls back out on the field and, you know, guys start practicing and playing football. The Vikings doubled down on this Cousins thing, but you got a lame duck coach, a lame duck GM. Dalvin Cook, to me, is probably the most important player to that team because the defense ain't what it was under Zimmer 3 years ago. And he doesn't have the long-term deal, so that's an interesting situation. The Bears have all the tight ends in the world, but nobody to throw the ball to them. Like, they're picking up a $21 million Nick Foles contract and trading a potential starter to do it at a time when Andy Dalton and Cam Newton are on the street and Jameis Winston's going to play for $1 million. That's interesting. And then the Lions, I mean, they were put on notice by ownership last year saying, yeah, we're going to punt on this whole coaching search for now, but if these guys don't get their act together, we're coming for them next January. Well, they spent a lot of money. Do they, you know, is that defense going to have some bite? Is that going to be the top 10 unit that you expect when you're hiring a Matt Patricia and you're spending all this money on players in free agency and using all these draft picks on guys on that side of the ball? So yeah, I think it's going to be like the NFC East last year, Jim, where there's, you know, somebody wins the first 1 to 9 games, gets in the playoffs, but not a whole lot going on there.
Jason Lockenfora joining us. You're right, that division is wacky, but it's fascinating. Go back to Aaron Rodgers for a minute, Jason. Is the clock now ticking on how much longer he stays in Green Bay?
Absolutely. I mean, even if Jordan Love looks like Nathan Peterman at practice every day, Jim, 2 years from now, he's playing football. Because you don't make this move. You don't do all this not to at least see, well, maybe he'll look better on Sundays than he does on Wednesdays. Like, he's going to have to play some ball for the Packers. Like, this was not Aaron Rodgers, the number two or number one, depending who you talk to at the time, quarterback in a draft, falling to 25, having, you know, just because there was not a whole lot of need and it's this wacky draft and we're sitting there and he's falling to us. No. This was the fourth, maybe the fifth best quarterback in the draft, depending who you talk to. A guy who, not Monday afternoon, Monday morning quarterbacking it, but a guy, as I'm reporting out this draft in real time, most coordinators and guys I trust are telling me, no, not in the first round. No. And they trade up, giving away a potential wide receiver that could have helped Aaron Rodgers now for the right to move up to take Jordan Love, who they know is a project. That's not Aaron Rodgers falling to you. They didn't warn the guy at all, and should they, we can argue whether they should or shouldn't, but they know Aaron Rodgers. They know that he's got a black belt in the psychic arts in mental manipulation.
Right.
He's got an MBA in passive-aggressive behavior, and this is not going to sit well with him, nor really, frankly, should it. If you were up to something big, if you want to play rugby with Matt LaFleur and run the ball more than Mike Mularkey, go for it. I hope it works. You should have traded this guy a year ago, instead of giving him an extension 18 months ago.
I think you're right. I don't get that pick any more now than when they made that pick. It does not make sense to me. And this whole thing about how, yeah, but you have to plan for the future. If you have to get a quarterback, that's fine. Fine and well, but is that the quarterback of the future? Is that the guy? Time will tell, but right now I'm just not seeing it. Jason, go back to the Bears for a minute. How does trading a fourth-round pick for Nick Foles look when Jameis Winston signed for pennies and guys like Andy Dalton and Cam Newton are still available?
I guess it probably looks better than giving Jimmy Graham $16 million, but is it worse than trading up for Trubisky when nobody else was taking him and passing on two generational quarterbacks? Like, what prism are we looking at it through, Jim? Are we looking at it through the Bears front office of recent vintage prism, or are we looking at, you know, historical prisms? Are we looking at how the rest of the league would handle this situation? By Bears standards, we're grading on a curve. Like, it's not all that horrible, I suppose, when you look at some of the other things they've done. It's certainly suboptimal, though. It's not ideal.
No, it's not ideal, but they did get themselves like their 30th tight end, so we got to give them that.
They got that market cornered. You want to trade for a mediocre tight end, you got to go through the Bears to get him, brother.
Jason Lockenford joining us. You mentioned Matt Patricia. So, Jason, he's 9-22-1 since he arrived. How much pressure is he under to get it done this season?
Significant. I mean, do they have to make the playoffs? I don't, you know, what is the Ford family thinking in terms of significant progress? What reaches that threshold? You know, do they get a full season out of Matt Stafford and still not, you know, play for anything meaningful around Christmas time? They're going to have to be better. That his side of the ball is going to have to coalesce, and you're going to have to be talking about the Lions defense week in, week out as a unit. You know, that makes them better, not worse. And then we'll see. If that division is what I think it'll be, somebody gets on a heater, wins 3-4 games in a row, that's probably enough to carry you to the end. I just don't see Green Bay. Green Bay to me was not a 14-win team last year. It happened. I get it. Look up the word regression. You know, check out the Jags from a couple years ago. Check out the Bears from a year ago. It happens. It happens in a big way. And so I don't know, Jim. I mean, I think they might be propped up a little bit by the fact that there's no juggernaut that they're going to have to play twice a year.
We are talking to Jason Lockenfora for a few more moments. So, Jason, what about the Pats? They select no receivers in a draft that was so deep with receivers. Instead, they focus heavily on linemen and tight ends. What do you make of that approach, and what do you infer from that as it relates to Bill Belichick and his plans?
That's a vastly different model since Tom Brady started winning multiple Super Bowls. They're looking at this the way other teams have built around a young quarterback making no money and the ability to prop him up with the defense. Eventually, I think there'll be more weapons for him in the passing game, but I think this season's going to be about assessing what Stidham is, and they believe steadfast that he's at worst the fourth quarterback in this year's draft if he's in it. You know, and is there a big drop-off from him and Herbert? There's people in that building who would say no, there's not, and we've already had him in our system for a year. And there's all these questions about Herbert. Well, we already know a bit of what Stidham can do because we had him for a year and we liked what we saw. So I didn't even roll with him. If everybody else is drafting receivers, is it that out of the ordinary for the hoodie to go, I'm going to draft mostly linemen? You know what? I'm going to mostly draft down linemen and front seven players because everybody else is taking running backs, wide receivers, quarterbacks. So I'm going to zig while they zag, and I'll find value at those positions. Guys will get pushed down the board because I'm not going to be a part of these runs. I get it. Is he picking all the right players? No. Is his draft record not as good as someone make you believe? Yeah, but he's also doing two jobs at a level that nobody else in the league does it. So I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt, and I understand what they're doing. And next year's wide receiver draft, I'll let you know a dirty little secret, it's pretty darn good too. So, and they're not a year away from getting back to their standard. It's going to take multiple off seasons just from their cap standpoint alone and clearing some of the decks. So I get it.
JLC joining us. So, Jason, one quick follow-up to that. Is there any chance in your mind that Belichick has decided it's not their year and he's going to try to position himself to get Trevor Lawrence next year? Could you actually see him going through a season of losing like that in order to set himself up?
Well, I think it's about, okay, what do we have at the quarterback position? Can we get the defense back where it was? That defense the last four or five, really from the Ravens game on, started getting exposed a little bit. And we talk about they lost Brady, they lost Van Noy, they lost Collins. You know, they've lost the year before that, they lose Trey Flowers. They've lost a lot of talent on defense. So if we have an airtight defense, we had no offense last year, and we were still 8-0 at one point or whatever, and looked like a one seed. So can that model hold this year? If it doesn't, and it turns out they only win five games, and guess what? Everybody else already took their quarterback, so we don't have a lot of competition to get one of these top two kids. I don't think they'd be mad at the world at that either if at the end of the day they were able to get one of them. I don't think that's necessarily the overarching goal, but it could end up being the end result.
All right, so before I let you go, you also recently spoke to Steelers GM Kevin Colbert. He's really optimistic that Ben Roethlisberger may actually be a better quarterback coming off surgery than he was going in. What do you make of that?
I mean, it's a gamble not getting a Jameis Winston for $1 million to me. And you know, I talked to Kevin about it, and he was pretty clear that they were not playing in the backup quarterback market at all. They saw enough out of Mason Rudolph to feel like, you know, he was an ascending player at the end of the year. And, you know, with some different things around him, if they had to play him, you know, that they'd be okay. But they're really doubling down on Ben's health. I think it's a gamble. Personally, he knows more about the situation than I do. But I didn't like his first six quarters last year before he got hurt. And their kind of thinking is that they think that something was going on earlier with that elbow, with that arm, than even when, you know, before Ben really got open with them about just how bad it was. And so they're thinking now that, okay, there was something already going on there, and he'll be better than what we saw the summer of 2019. We'll see. I just think for $1 million, I'd been all over Jameis.
I see a lot of value in that for $1 million. Last thought then, where does it leave Cam Newton? Like, we know, JLC, that there's not a lot of opportunities. Yeah. In fact, there are really none for him right now. How do you think it plays out, and where do you think he might end up?
I mean, obviously you're in no rush to do anything now. All these kids have just been drafted. Everybody's excited about their future quarterbacks. Jameis only got $1 million. I mean, why would I sell low on myself? He's got the issues with his health, and at this point, why not be able to put on a showcase on the other side of this pandemic or be able to, you know, meet with individual doctors to just allay any fears? And then it may take an injury, Jim. Whenever we do have, you know, training camps or what have you, it may take a contending team losing their guy. But I've never seen anything like this before with the quarterback position. And, you know, you can't convince me. He's not a quality starting quarterback. He's not a winning starting quarterback in this league. But right now, the opportunities are limited.
Jason, I got about a minute left. Let me ask you really quickly what everybody wants to know. Do you expect football this fall? I mean, what kind of a season do you think we're going to have?
I don't know. I mean, they are planning for a multitude of contingencies because, you know, I don't know that the government knows. Certainly the owners in the league office don't know for sure. I keep coming back to the issue of testing and all these leagues and any comments they make, and even all the baseball, there's all this optimism and all these articles about optimism, and I hope that ends up being the case. But there's always this caveat of, yeah, and testing's got to be readily available to anybody who wants it, and we can't be taking away from the general public supply. And that's the one I keep coming back to, saying, like, when I can walk in a CVS or whatever, I walk in a pharmacy, and there's a whole stack of COVID shelves, you know what I mean, and they're $5 a pop, like COVID test, and you don't have to put a Q-tip all the way up to somebody's brain, then I can see it. You know what I mean? Like, personally, but unless we're there, I don't know, Jim. It's kind of hard to get your head around.
It is. It definitely is. He's an NFL insider for CBS Sports and CBSSports.com. Remember, he appears every Sunday on the NFL Today during the regular season and postseason. And JLC added to his resume. He's the co-host of Inside Access on 105.7, The Fan in Baltimore. Brother, great talking to you. Good to have you back. Thank you so much. Stay safe.
Always my pleasure, man. Enjoy your weekend. Thanks.
You too, Jason. Thanks, buddy. Be good.